Welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. And you know, I always tell you the first because there's a second one called Paganos del Mundo on Spanish and Portuguese that airs every Saturday. But anyway, tonight is Monday, so we have a Lunatic Mondays night. And on our social justice series, we are going to talk about freedom of religion, because it's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, it's time for winter celebrations and holidays. And I'm very lucky because I can see Jake and they are laughing because I'm singing. So thank you for laughing at my singing, Jake. I know you're laughing with me. And
absolutely.
And I hope you are having a very good winter season, holiday season, celebration, whatever. And welcome to Lunatic Mondays. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thanks, Laura. I'm really always excited and happy to join you for this podcast. I'm not excited that it's winter, but...
I know. Well, winter in Chicago, for those who don't know, we basically disappear, what, like around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that's it, is night for the next 16 hours.
Yeah.
And then we resurface at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And for people like me who exist in the afternoon, is basically night the whole time for winter. But enough about me. Holidays are here, basically. We are, you know, in the middle of it, with all that being winter solstice tomorrow and whatnot. And my idea of doing this show for today is, you know, even within paganism, there is sometimes like disputes, you know, like what originated where and who created what. And no, my holiday is shinier than yours and my celebration is better than yours. And the truth of the matter, we were laughing on the preparation for this show because we were talking about like the reason, how did you put it? The reason for the season?
Axial tilt is the reason for the season.
There you go.
Just to co-opt somebody else's claims making around why these winter holidays happen the way they do. When in fact, that group of people appropriated the timing of their own history and events and seized the opportunity to kind of piggyback those on some, you know, thousands year old traditions around the winter solstice or whatever. But again, I'm not trying to do what Laura was saying and engage in the argument about whose holidays are preeminent or whatever. But,
you know, when I started practicing paganism, because I've been studying paganism since I was 16 years old, but I started practicing about 12 years ago, and yeah, give or take a year or two, and I know that as a convert, a pagan, right, so I grew up Catholic, and then I was atheist for a number of years, and then I became pagan, and practicing pagan recently, really. And one of the holidays that is the hardest to kind of like let go from growing up Catholic is Christmas, right? And then you enter the life of a neo-pagan and you realize that everything that is symbolic to Christmas actually comes from other traditions and other cultures. In my case, as a Mexican, from lands far, far away from me that had nothing to do with how we experience winter in Mexico, which we basically don't because it's like 60s and sunny and beautiful. But then the deeper you go into the rabbit hole, you have like people within the pagan and neo-pagan culture fighting each other like, no, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. And the point that I'm trying to make is like, it's a holy season. It's a holiday. And yes, I'm going to be as cheesy as I can. Can we all get along? Because we also don't live in a vacuum, right? We are the minority. And we have families that are probably celebrated on a Catholic way or in a Christian way or in a Jewish way or on any other way. And the point is that we don't respect each other. We say we do, but we don't. Jake, that's why I've been doing these shows for so many years, you know, like the first that I did was in Spanish. And I talk about, you know, being pagan and being Wiccan. And still going to the posadas in Mexico, still going to all the celebrations, that nobody's going to take your pagan, Wiccan, witchy license away from you if you still enjoy those moments with your family. And every year, this seems to be like a very controversial topic. And that's why I wanted you to share with me so I don't carry the whole load by myself. Haha. No, because, you know, we are trying to bring awareness to all this social, heavy social discrimination that happens because of religion.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we as pagans can be really sort of sensitive to that and aware of it because you know, we see other paths appropriating customs or philosophical points or whatever of, you know, things that we think are part of our heritage. Although I just want to name that often pagans have kind of colonized or appropriated indigenous practices, spiritual practices, artifacts, holy sites, and so on, and kind of claim them as our own or integrated them in things that we do. And we may think that we're doing those practices respectfully and honoring them and their roots. And that might be true, but it's also true that they are not our own the way we might think of them. And so that is a growing area, I think, for some of us, you know, for lots of people who come from white or colonizer backgrounds, but for lots of people who practice any faith path, and including paganism, which we sometimes might think is sort of cleaner or purer ethically than other paths that have more obvious ways that they've oppressed or marginalized other people, or sort of colonized customs or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we think of ourselves as outsiders and we sort of bond with each other based on that, but then we sometimes forget to watch for other folks who are experiencing other kinds of religious oppression or marginalization or alienation. And we fail to sort of seize opportunities for collaboration, for allyship, for solidarity, for, you know, being, you know, finding ways to have unity and community with people of other paths, because we're so careful about protecting our own path and defending our own religious freedoms and religious practices and our sort of right to exist and things like that. Does that sort of make sense, Laura?
Absolutely. And I think, I, as a Mexican, I cannot not talk about, for example, the holiday that we just had last week, the Day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, the December 12th. And believe it or not, that has more of an indigenous background, and it has to do with the mother, the motherhood, the birthing of a child, and the earth, and, you know, more with the astrological or astronomical, which is the right word, astronomical, I think. What is happening, right? Like with the solstice and all that, the mother in the birthing of the sun child, you know, Mother Earth giving birth to the sun child. The Virgin of Guadalupe represents that nativity. And from an Aztec point of view, and I as a Mexican, celebrate that nativity image of the mother, because I see beyond, or I see behind the cultural syncretism that happened with the Catholicism, right? And there are some pagans that they see that image and they, oh my God, you know, like they want to, you know, come and take my witchy license and come and take my broom and, you know, like get the blue out of the witch and all of that. And it's like, dude, if you know what you practice and you love what you practice, why is it that what I practice affects you in any way, shape, form? Nobody can steal your practices. Nobody can rob you from your faith. And in the magic words of Paul McCartney, live and let live, you know, or live and let die. I think we, like you said, you know, we praise ourselves from being very well educated and that we're very well read and that we pagans really know the origin of things and da-da-da. But then we don't respect the origin of things for other people or how other people practice. And case in point, I was telling you that I saw this TikTok because my name is Laura. I'm addicted to TikTok. And they were talking about how certain store, one of those big box stores, produce Hanukkah products for the holidays, but that nothing made sense and that everything was just commodifying Christian or Catholic imagery and symbology and phrases and put in Jewish symbols on it. And this person was saying, like, what is this? Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with, you know, Hanukkah. So how can we do other than minding our own business? How do you think we can do better to actually, you know, respect each other?
So you mean if I put a picture of Santa Claus on my dreidel, that's not good interfaith collaboration? That's not a way to respect that there are different holidays happening at the same time of year or whatever.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but I guess not.
Well, I happen to be someone who can find really deep and rich meaning in participating and sort of honoring and observing the devotion, the practice of people in paths that I don't have personal history in. And so I really sort of deeply love and respect not just sort of interfaith collaboration, but find a great amount of meaning and edification and understanding other people's paths and history and theology and philosophy and practice. And I sometimes have felt a sense of connectedness with the divine and with the cosmos, the multiverse, and with other humans, and even with myself and my own sort of being as a spiritual person in observances that are not my own heritage, where maybe I didn't even know for sure what was going on or what was going to happen, where I might not have even understood the language. And I feel like it can be incredibly valuable to each person's own sort of pursuit of the divine and our own feeding of our own spirit by sort of tuning in with the ways other people make meaning of life and observe cycles and festivals and other kinds of express religious devotion and things like that. But, you know, what I appreciate is Laura has often taught some guidelines about how we honor someone else's practices and symbols and signs and how we do that without an appropriate colonization or appropriation or, you know, basically stealing. Do you mind education? Can you repeat your your guideline about that?
The difference between appreciation and appropriation is education.
Thank you. It was right there on the tip of my tongue, but I wanted you to remind us. So I say that to myself pretty frequently because it's important to me to figure out how to walk that line where I'm honoring and appreciating someone else's devotion and practice and customs, but not trying to pretend that I thoroughly understand them and making sure not to pretend that I can own them. But really the root of that, as Laura's reminding us, is education. And even if you're not somebody who is genuinely curious about someone else's habits and practices and customs, I mean, I personally feel that we all should be, you know, that we should have some inherent curiosity about each other and love of diversity and different manifestations of the human spirit and the human quest to engage and connect with the planet and the cosmos, each other and the divine, or some sense of something bigger than ourselves and so on. So I think we should work to stoke that curiosity in ourselves. But even if you don't have a natural drive towards that, I think we have an obligation. I would assert that we have an obligation to have a sense of awareness and basic education about the practices and heritage of everyone around us in our local and national communities, and that we need to learn about all the different kinds of major festivals and holidays and observances and customs that any people of faith or people of conscience are honoring or practicing, because that will enrich our own practice and customs and conscience, our own spiritual selves. But more importantly, that is how we engage in good conscience and good faith and right relationship with a diverse and pluralist world around us. And so I guess I am trying to answer the question you asked. I think we need to learn about each other, you know, to put it simply. And, you know, lots of people, lots of adherents to various paths and identities are forced to learn about those in the dominant culture. You know, people of color have to do border crossing and code switching all the time to get by in life. You know, there probably isn't anybody in the United States who doesn't have at least a rudimentary understanding of when Christmas is and what it's about, or, you know, the various arguments about what it's about, and so on, because, you know, you're sort of swimming around in this soup that is dominant culture, and you have to, you know, you have to pay attention to get by, to function, you know, if you are in some way part of some kind of alternative culture or alternative history or heritage or experience or whatever. And I think, you know, we pagans might choose to take the easy way out and think, well, if I'm not Christian, I don't need to worry about colonizing other people. And, you know, my people, my pagan people are oppressed. And so, you know, we're not the oppressors. And so, you know, other people should work on learning about us and including us and honoring our rights and all that sort of thing. But, you know, instead of taking that opportunity to sort of just identify as oppressed people, we have the opportunity to have awareness, to have empathy with all the rest of the groups of people that are not respected and not sort of normalized or celebrated. And, you know, to take a little extra energy to learn about Judaism and Islam and Sikhism and Jainism and, you know, Pastafarianism and all the various paths and philosophies that people might adhere to or pursue in our community around us. And then stand up for people, stand up with people. Honestly, most of the time, you know, we pagans can do things or wear things that sort of bring us out of the broom closet to people around us. And we may or may not feel safe enough to be out at work or at school or in our community as pagans. And we may experience, you know, intimations or overt declarations that we are not welcome or that our practices or identities are not meant to be included. That does happen for sure. But for the most part, we're not necessarily sort of obligated to do things that are necessarily always read by the world around us that make us sort of stick out. And there are folks in our national community and probably in most of our local communities who choose to or feel obligated to wear articles of clothing or other symbols of their faith that just make them really easy targets for, you know, Christian supremacists and white supremacists who are watching for someone to pick on. And, you know, in many ways, even figures in our government have found it easy to pick on Muslims, for example, and to scapegoat them for bad things that have happened in the history of the United States or in other parts of the world, to sort of paint all people from Islam with this ridiculous wrong brush that characterizes everybody with the most extreme adherence of some bizarre sort of offshoot of groups of people who might think of themselves as Muslim, but who most Muslims do not have any affinity with, and so on. And, you know, there's pretty much, you know, most religious paths might have adherents to that path that do not represent what others in that path might necessarily endorse or celebrate or practice. And, you know, still we find it really easy in dominant culture to do lots of profiling of, you know, certain people, especially Muslims and Sikhs, because they're easy to pick on and they have overt symbols of their faith and their devotion and their path and stuff. And so, you know, there are hate crimes happening in this nation against lots of people for faith. And sure, some of them are pagans. And yes, we need to stand up for our rights. But I think it's also important that we push ourselves to be standing up with and for other folks who are experiencing marginalization and discrimination and harassment as well. And part of how we do that is we, you know, employ empathy. We learn about the experience of other folks. We pay attention to the world around us, and we learn to notice when someone is being profiled or slandered or stereotyped in a way that's inappropriate or inaccurate or unproductive. And we, you know, eradicate any kind of hate or slander or oppression that is geared towards anybody for any reason. But, you know, what we're talking about tonight is people being targeted because of their religion or faith path.
Exactly. And I think the key word, and you use it there a number of times, is empathy. You know, I was very shocked in a very negative way when I discovered that for some people that had just arrived or are newly pagan, you know, first or second year into knowing and adopting pagan practices, that it was almost like being pagan is a Christian hater or Catholic hater. And I thought first that I was seeing that only on the Spanish-speaking pagan community. And then I turned around and I started seeing that also on the Anglo-speaking pagan community. And I'm like, I'm not a scholar. I'm just a person that likes to use logic. And I'm like, how can we demand respect as pagans when we don't give it? You know? And okay, if you come out of any of those religions traumatized because you were ostracized, because you were not acting according to their tenets or their beliefs, or because you were not welcome in their temples, and that's why you left those religions, I get it that you're traumatized. Believe me, I get it, because I have a personal, very personal, family affecting bad situation with the Catholic Church. Ergo, I'm not Catholic. But that doesn't mean I'm gonna bash or hate or discriminate against Catholics because I'm pagan. I don't like to hang out with them because I know I'm gonna be ostracized, but I think they have every right to practice. And case in point, you all know how I feel about Santa Muerte. And when the Christians, colonizers went to Mexico a couple of years, I think last year, and they were trying to tell this woman to take down her Santa Muerte altar, I was in awe. I will be the one jumping like, no, leave her alone. Because it's not a practice that is for me, but it's her practice. And she has the right to do it, you know? And I don't agree with none of that practice. But, you know, every person has a right to practice what they want. And yeah, as a pagan, I will be defending her. Like, no, you cannot come and put your own colonizer ways in your practice so this person can convert to what you do. I think it's really, really important that we get, you know, at least curious about other practices, that we learn about our practices, and that we go into that with an open mind. Believe me, folks, when you open your mind, your brain is not going to fall out. It's going to stay where it is. And you're going to learn so many things, and you're going to enrich your spirituality, because I seriously enjoy hearing one of my Muslim clients speak about their faith, you know, and how they tell me about Allah. And, you know, they have tried to teach me how to pronounce that word properly, and I always butcher it, but, you know, it's just poetic. So to understand that faith is individual, that every person practices different, and that when we immerse ourselves, or at least dip our toes in other people's practices, we can start learning to understand. And then I know a lot of us are probably not very close to our family of origin, but the song "The Christian and the Pagan" comes to mind, you know, that song about coming together and practicing. What do you think it will be a good idea to start kind of like getting close to family, if that is something that is available and a healthy way for you? Do you think that the holidays are a great gateway to like get back to that?
Do you mean related to COVID, or do you mean related to reconciliation because of alienation about religious path divergence, or?
Yes, all of the above, you know, COVID. I mean, if you're vaccinated, please. But also kind of like to reconcile and reconnect and.
You know, well, it's a little bit cliche even, you know, sort of hallmarky about how, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas are, and even New Year's are sort of family time, their time to reconnect with your loved ones and so on. And that can be really alienating for people who have family trauma, or, you know, have been estranged from people from their biological families, or, you know, their personal family history or things like that. I think, you know, not to be corny, but I think, you know, we need to seize every opportunity whenever we're ready, whenever it's healthy for us, whenever we can establish the kind of boundaries that we need to be able to do it safely and sustainably. I think it's, we should seize any opportunity to do reconciliation, to do healing in our relationships, in our families, in ourselves, to forgive ourselves and others when we need to help shine a light on things that make us unique from as a family from other families, or as a member of a family that's different from other members of the family, whatever it is, you know, and try to figure out how not to let things divide us or be symbols for the things that make us have a hard time getting along or whatever. I think we're tempted to use faith or politics or any number of things as a reason to give up on each other, or and sometimes that is the reason, you know. And you know, if your family kicks you out because you're gay, then they're gonna have to deal with that before it's you know, it's not your job to try to put up with their homophobia and stuff so that you can stay in relationship, unless you choose to and can find a way to do that with your own sort of integrity and safety intact or whatever. But that's just an example. But, you know, you can always look for ways to find ways that you connect, find commonality, find opportunities for insight about other people, their thoughts, their philosophies and practice and all that sort of thing. And, you know, the holidays can be those times. You know, I think, you know, I'm no expert about how our calendar got set up the way it is and all that sort of stuff, but it, you know, I don't think anybody could reasonably argue that it's an accident that January 1st, you know, is so close to solstice or whatever. You know, this is a good time of year for all people to sort of be taking stock and thinking about what they want to manifest in their lives and in their future and their relationships going forward. And if you've got reconciliation energy, if you've got the interest in finding out, you know, having a heartfelt connection with someone else about an idea or a philosophy or a theology that they hold to be true, that is precious to them, then make that space and try to help someone make that space to know you better and understand you better, so that we aren't separated by misunderstandings and so on. You know, or figure out ways, if you can't or choose not to connect with your family of origin, that's okay. You know, find other way to make connection, community, family, with other people. It doesn't have to just be during these corny holiday times. You know, I think that's a thing we should all be doing all the time. But we also need to find ways to connect with people that the world has not thrown together with us, you know, that come from completely different heritage and identity. And, you know, find the ways that we are all human together and that we are all bound up together. You know, and as MLK said, in a single garment of destiny, I think is the quote, ways that we are all co-creating the community that we live in, the reality that we have. We're all tending, you know, the earth together, and we're all responsible for unity, you know. And this holiday time can be an opportunity to understand and celebrate and embrace other people's paths and practices and that sort of thing, and to sort of have a New Year's resolution to understand somebody from a path that's different than yours, know why they treasure what they treasure and why they treasure those things about their path or heritage, and learn to respect and appreciate those, and to, you know, defend fiercely their right and their reason to think and feel and practice the way they do, just like we expect other people to protect our right to feel and believe and practice the way we do.
Absolutely. First of all, I have to say, you know, I'm cheesy. I love cheesy. I love corny. I tell my best friend, Aaron, when we're doing cheesy stuff, we say all the cheese, you know, because we put extra cheese on it. It's just cheesy. So yeah, guilty as charged. I think this is the season, and it's a good gateway. But I love what you said, that it has to do according to your well-being and your boundaries. That always has to come first. And also that, you know, defending other people's rights, it doesn't have to be pagan only. And I had a former mentor that I love when he said, why do we expect people whom are, for example, Christian to act like pagans? And why do we expect pagans to act like Christians, or a Jewish person to act like an indigenous person? I mean, people are going to behave according to their belief system. And I can promise you, I guarantee you, there might be places where they are common ground and common languages and common beliefs. And then there are places where you cannot force it. That's fine. But respect is knowing that everybody has a right to do and exist in whichever way they want to exist. So, you know, just to be respectful. And for, if you're listening to this show, it's because you like social justice and you want to be a good ally and you want to be a person that navigates this world with less hatred than it already has. So, you know, try to convey that and bring it also to other faiths and other religions. So, Jake, I know you're a very private person. I know that. But this is going to be, is this going to be your first holiday with your child, with your youngest child?
My youngest is 16 months old. So we already had a winter holiday cycle with them last year. But, you know, little kids have a limit to how much they can take in about what's going on around them. And, you know, at different ages, we'll connect with different pieces of what is happening and what they expect as a result of it and so on. So I don't know. I think it's fascinating to think about what are the kinds of things about your own heritage, your own belief system that you want to impart to someone else who is your kid or, you know, who you're mentoring in some way or whatever. How do you do that? Like, how do you give somebody a sense of deep rooting in a tradition or in, you know, the sort of world of traditions or whatever? How do you make them feel like they have those sort of benchmarks in their year, in their life, but also keep them open and curious to the rest of the world and the way the rest of the world has a cycle of year and benchmarks in their cycle of year? That's really important to me. And for all my kids, I've tried really hard to instill in them a sort of awareness and appreciation of diversity and, you know, some particular unique things about different paths and groups of people. And I have, you know, for a long, long time had a menorah and what I would call a Yule tree, not a Christmas tree, and a solstice candle, all burning at the same time if it coincides, right? And practice also Kwanzaa and not super well or disciplined of any of those things. And also hopefully not in a way that is sort of appropriating or tokenizing, but just kind of, you know, these are some of the things that happen this time of year for different people. I also, you know, want people in my world to be conscious when Ramadan is happening, for example. And so I use various platforms in my life to try to raise awareness and don't always do that well, raise sort of attunement or sensitivity to different paths and perspectives and realities and stuff like that. I will also say quickly that a while back when I was doing more sort of direct service social work, as part of my daytime vocation. Now I still think of myself as a social worker and I'm engaged in that work on a daily basis, but I do less direct service work, direct care of people, for example. But for a long, long time in my professional career, I was responsible for making some spaces for people experiencing homelessness, including a sort of outreach event that happened twice a week, an overnight emergency shelter, a drop-in center for homeless young people of all genders, and thinking about ways to acknowledge or observe the holidays, which could be an incredibly vulnerable and painful time for various reasons for the young people I was working with who might be grieving family that they are separated from or who harmed them or rejected them, who may not have, you know, home and hearth and all those things you celebrate at this time of year, may not even know where their next meal's coming from and so on. And one of the things I enjoyed and was lucky about in that work is that I worked really closely with people of faith in lots of different paths who brought food and provided hospitality for my programs. And so we started a tradition that we called the Festival of Lights that we did every year for several nights in a row in the middle of Christmas, where we celebrated lots and lots of different holidays and practices and so on. And including the Fiesta de la Posadas, which when I think about it and my understanding of it, it always makes me cry. That sort of, you know, homecoming, like there's room for you here thing, even now just is really touching to me, that sort of ethos of making inclusive space and making room for travelers, for journeyers, people who don't have a place to be or whatever. And so that is a memory, a practice, a tradition that I still treasure, even though I don't work in that same context anymore. I one time on Solstice evening, you know, was doing a late night drop-in for young people engaged in survival sex trading, which sounds sort of potentially sort of salacious or exotic in some way or something like that. But one of my favorite memories there was one night where I made a sort of spiral labyrinth on the floor of this Unitarian church basement on Solstice evening, and had a sort of ritual with the young people there where we thought about what we are grateful for, and those people that are our family, and those things about ourselves that we rely on to keep us safe and sturdy, you know, in all of these life challenges, and all the things that we feel that we're ready to sort of let go of and heal from and all that sort of stuff. And that was a really meaningful observance that of Solstice that I had, one time in my history or whatever. And so I'm always looking for ways to find ways to sort of connect with other people around what might be meaningful to them, what might help them find meaning in their life, or what traditions might feel sort of valuable or value added in their world and so on. And I don't know if that answers that question, Laura, but that's kind of what I think about in a sort of interfaith awareness world around these holidays.
I think it is wonderful to add anything that can give the young people an understanding that there are different options, you know, that not one way is better than other way, and that not one way is the only way, you know, because growing up, for example, in Mexico, you know, you were either Catholic or you were not. And to understand that the Catholicism that we practice in Mexico is not even Catholic, Christian anymore, you know, it's so infused and filled with indigenous traditions, and it's in and out itself a completely different kind of Catholicism, but that was the only option back then, you know? So for me, it's very important, as you say, what you do with your youngest child, to give other options, you know? Now I have the opportunity to do it with my grandson. And my grandson, who is going to a Catholic school where they learn about other holidays. And I probably have told you this anecdote before, Jake, but, you know, I will share again. This child came to me when he was like 7 years old with like Lublita, you know, calls me Lita for abuelita. Lublita, we did the winter holidays, and he had like Hanukkah and Christmas and Chinese New Year and Kwanzaa. And I just blurted out like, "You're missing winter solstice." And he is like, "What?" And I say, "Yeah, you're missing winter solstice. You know, like your teacher told you all these holidays, but your teacher missed winter solstice." So I use that as a gateway opportunity to tell my grandson about winter solstice. And it was great. What was not great is when he stopped and got really quiet. And then he said, "You know, Lita, I'm going to tell my teacher that she missed winter solstice." And I'm like, no. You don't have to tell your teacher what she missed, because, you know, academia. But that was a great reminder for me. And ever since that year, every year, you know, he gets like a winter solstice / Yule present. And my stepdaughter, who's raising him, receives a Yule candle that they light on the solstice night, and then he gets Christmas, and we celebrate all of it together, you know. I think it's really important also what you brought about the Festival of Lights, and really, truly, like, I'm going to get cheesy and corny again, what this season has become is that, right? Hopefully reach out to people, reach out to the needy, help those in need. And oftentimes we want to help those in need very far and out, and we forget about our own family, our own cousins, our own children who are having issues with dependency or addictions or whatever. I mean, compassion has to begin at home first and then out. And that labor, as you were saying, you know, with all those that youth that is out there without somebody that can help them. So, you know, if you have it in your heart and you have an extra dollar or two or time, you don't have to donate money all the time. You can donate your time. Reach out and help people out there. And most importantly, don't discriminate on the basis of religion. Please. No, because you're pagan, think that you're exempt of discrimination and religious discrimination. And I think it's a good time to reflect, again, you know, corny and cheesy, reflect on the darkness of this time, on what needs to be unlearned about your own biases based on religion that other people practice. Jake, this has been great. Thank you so much for being here. I love and adore doing this series with you as well. And this time I want to remember to tell you, because you say it every time and I never say it back. So, because I'm so cheesy today, Jake, I love you. I'm very happy that we're doing this social justice series, and may we continue. And to you and your family and your chosen family, a very, very happy holiday season. And I leave you the microphone so you can say goodbye to your audience tonight.
I'm so grateful for this opportunity with you, Laura, too. And I love you, and I wish you and your family and all your loved ones the warmest season, with all the right amounts of solitude and peace and all the right amounts of frivolity and connection that suit you well. And I wish that for all those who are listening now or in the future. Do reach out, take care of someone, include someone who might not have family or might not have connection or might not have a present to open up or a thing to look forward to. And, you know, if you want to find rootedness for that act of kindness or inclusion or charity in your faith, you can certainly do that, but you don't have to find rootedness for that in your faith. You can find rootedness for that in your humanity, in your soul's consciousness, if that is where you find the motivation to reach out and to spread love and belonging and connection. And thanks for doing that by being here with us today, tonight, this afternoon, this evening, this second breakfast, whenever it is and wherever it is that you are.
Thank you so much, Jake. Thank you, everybody. Of course, a wonderful solstice, Yule, winter holiday. And to everybody, never forget that you are loved. Mwah.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming, connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.